All right, we are live this morning. We are live this morning. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this morning. This is not just any morning. This is Mother's Day morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers across the nation, across the world. Listen, this is your day. This is your day, and you all are so significant to all of us, and we just want to wish you a wonderful and a happy Mother's Day, a wonderful and happy Mother's Day. And we just want this day to be a day that we just cherish you all, that we just give you all that you deserve, all the love, kindness, and respect, and the honor that you all deserve. I mean, from the nurturing states to of us, and you just constantly nurture us. It doesn't matter how old we get. Y'all are going to always be mothers, and we're always going to be your children. And we're just so thankful to have that relationship. Remember, we had a message a while back, the power of the family, and how we talked about the importance of mothers. And we talked about the importance of mothers in the nurturing processes of our life and how they're so important and intricate into our growth and development. So I just want to say that you all are so special and y'all are so wonderful to all of us. And we just want to wish you a happy and wonderful and fantastic Mother's Day. So I just want to this morning, I just want to welcome all of y'all. I am Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn here, pastor of the Soil Church, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We want to inspire love. Love in this day and time is so needed. We hear about things going on in the world. We hear about things that are happening all around us. But we have to understand what God said about love and the power of love. Love conquers a multitude of sins. So if we can inspire love, we can, one person at a time, just one inspiration at a time, we can help change this world. So we want to welcome you all, and we want to encourage you to come grow in the soil, Spirit of Inspiring Love. Come grow in the soil with us. We would love to have you folks. And we've got a dynamic ministry that is built on the principles of the Word of God. It's authentic and it's right from the Word. And we just want you guys to continue to grow in the soil with us. So I want to welcome y'all on Zoom. I want to welcome you on Facebook Live. And I also want to welcome the audience on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station. Thank all of y'all for tuning in. And again, I just want to, for those that have just tuned in, wish all of the wonderful mothers out there a happy Mother's Day to you. This is a fantastic day for all of you. And a special happy Mother's Day to my dear wife as well. And she's just such a beautiful person and has added so much to me, and also to my dear mother, who I'm going to talk about a little bit here in our message as we move on into the message as well. So what I want to do is, we've been in our series called The Power of Faith. We've been in this series, The Power of Faith, and God has every week just been adding another layer to breaking down Hebrews 11:1. And I've been coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, and we are just taking the granulated form. We are breaking this down into the granulated form of the word faith so that we understand it. Because remember, as King James reminded us, in all of our getting, we want to get understanding. And the more we understand, that knowledge is power. And not only is it power, but it's that power within us. So unto him who's able to do, Ephesians 3:20, unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think, above all that we can ask, above all that we can say, above all that we can hope, according to that power that is within us. And as we've been talking about, that power is, it comes from the word called faith. It stems from this word called faith. So what I want us to do now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds to receive this wonderful word. We're going to go into a word of corporate prayer, and I want us to just really focus in and really listen in. If you don't have to click away, stay right here. Stay right here and let the word of God speak to your heart and speak to your spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for all of the mothers, Lord, that are out there. Thank you for the mothers, Lord Jesus, that have just been such a rock to all of us, Lord, that have just poured into us, that have helped establish the nurturing of our roots, Lord, and just the nurturing of us as people on today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the motherly spirit, Lord. We just thank you for all of them, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for every mother across the nation, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you just renew our minds. You said for us to be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, Lord. And we ask that you renew our mind. We can't do it without you, Father God. We need you to renew our mind. We need you to renew our strength, Lord. And we ask that you just help us to focus in on what you have for us to say in this world where there's such a spirit of distraction, Lord, from text and calls and all these other things. Help us to just block out this segmented time to allow your word to just pour into us. And wherever the spirit of distraction is coming to kill, steal, destroy, disrupt, spread discord, we rebuke it by that power that you give us. We speak rebuke over the spirit of distraction right now. Lord, somebody is hurting this morning, but they need to be filled up, Lord. And I just thank you for this word. I thank you for this series. And thank you because somebody's life is going to be changed. Thank you because somebody is going to walk away understanding the power of faith, being able to use it and apply it into their lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you for your wonderful, mighty, magnificent word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All right, again, thank all of y'all for Zoom and Zoom for tuning in to us. Thank all of y'all on Facebook Live for tuning in and as well as We Talk Radio. So we've been in this series, The Power of Faith. And what I want us to do is we've been talking about the power of faith here, and we've been coming out of Hebrews 11:1. And I just want to go ahead on and start. You know, reading this scripture here again, and we're going to talk about a portion of this scripture to bring more clarity, to bring more conciseness to this word. So if you will, go with me into the New Testament of the Bible, okay? The New Testament, the right hand. The New Testament is on the right hand. We've got the right hand, the New Testament, right? Matthew through Malachi in your Bible. Old Testament, starting with the book of Genesis through Malachi, okay? So let's go into the Old Testament, and it's a New Testament here. Let's go into the book of Hebrews. It's before James. Okay, it's after the Pauline letters, right? Just keep on turning back. If you've got the Bible app or whatever, if you got into James, you went too far. All right, but let's go into the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, and it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The evidence of things not seen. We're going to talk about the evidence of things not seen today in part 4 of the power of faith. And I want us to understand what that means as we connect the links, as we connect everything related to Hebrews 11:1. So the evidence of things unseen, let's talk about that. You may ask the question, you may be thinking in your mind right now, you know, how is there evidence that cannot be seen? How does that work? How is it even possible that evidence can be unseen? It makes no evidential sense. It does not make any sense at all. I don't understand that. How does that work? Well, what I want to do is I want to talk about the word evidence on this morning. I want to read to you what Merriam-Webster has to say about this word called evidence, so that we can connect those dots, let's leave those breadcrumbs to lead us to what we want to understand about the power of faith. So according to Merriam-Webster, okay, the word evidence means something that furnishes proof. It means Facebook Live, something that furnishes proof. Zoom is something that furnishes proof. It can be proven. It's tangible. At least one of my 5 senses can align with this word called evidence. I can see it with my natural eyes. I can taste it. I can touch it. I can smell it. Okay? One of my 5 senses can at least align with this word called evidence. I can hear it. I can taste it, touch it, feel it. Okay? It aligns with that. But what I want us to understand is that one of the 5 senses have to be activated when it comes to evidence. We hear about it in court cases. Where's the evidence? We're innocent until what? Proven guilty. Okay, there has to be some tangible evidence when it comes to understanding how evidence works. Can I see it? Can I feel it? Can I taste it? Can I touch it? Can I smell it? Can I hear it? There has to be something there. Now, I want us to know that evidence in the natural sense is what this disciple by the name of Thomas needed in order to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, as we've been talking. Thomas needed the evidence of sight in order to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. I need to be able to see and feel the nail prints in his hands, the piercing in his side before I believe. So what I want us to understand here is when it comes to faith in the natural, the five senses, they have to be activated to confirm evidence. But when it comes to faith, I want us to think about that. How does evidence of the unseen work when it comes to this word calls faith? When it comes to this word called faith. So let's hear what God has to say about this answer in Hebrews 11 and 1. So it says that faith is the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. Now we've discovered that faith, as we've talked about in previous messages, faith is the substance of all substances. Because it's not just any substance. So if faith is not just any substance, and it's the substance of all substances, and that means it's the evidence of all evidence. It's also the evidence of all evidence. It's not just any normal evidence. It's not an evidence that aligns with at least one of our five senses. So what kind of evidence is connected with faith? What kind of evidence are we talking about here? Faith is simply believing in the unseen. It is simply believing in the unseen. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, is on a different level than your five senses. Your five senses are limited to really being able to understand and comprehend faith. If you try to limit faith and the belief of faith and the operational function of faith to your five senses, it's never going to align, because faith is on a different level. It's on a different dimension. It's on a different stratosphere. Your five senses cannot comprehend faith when it's in function. So when Jesus says to Thomas in John 20 and 29, blessed are those that believe that have not seen, he is talking about those that did not have to depend on one of their five senses to believe he had risen. Faith is a tool manufactured by God, okay, to connect the spiritual and the natural. It starts in the natural stratosphere. It starts on the natural dimension. This is why your five senses cannot connect with faith. But what faith does is it serves as the substance of all substances to bring what is supernatural into the natural. As we continue to talk about this, I want us to understand something here in this word. The resurrection of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is the ultimate example of the spiritual connecting with the natural. When Jesus went into the spiritual atmosphere, defeated death, and came back and reappeared, he went into the supernatural dimension, and then he came back in the natural just so he could confirm and that the scriptures could align that he was the coming Messiah that was going to deliver us. That moment, the spiritual and the natural came into a solid agreement. This is why, in order to accept our Lord and Savior, in order to accept him as our Lord and Savior, you have to believe that he did this act. You have to believe that he died and that he rose from the dead. And if you believe this without seeing it, If you believe this without seeing it, if you believe this without your five senses having to be invited to this belief party, if you can believe that he did this, this is how you will understand that your spirit will align with the natural because of your belief. What I want us to know and understand is that this is why he will call you blessed, because you believe. In other words, you don't limit your belief system to depend on your five senses. What we have to understand is he's going to call you blessed because you're using this tool that pleases God. God wants to know, can you believe him without depending on your five senses? Can you believe him without having to see him physically in your eyes, see the nail prints with your natural eyes? Can you believe him without having to smell him, your natural senses? Do you need practical, solid, tangible, physical evidence to know that God is real? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, when it comes to science, science has to have a hypothesis that is developed on practical, solid, tangible evidence. It has to all connect. It has to all make sense. Mathematics has to be able to add. You have to take 2 and 2, and it has to equal 4. And you take 4 and you divide it by 2, then it breaks back down to 2. It all has to add up, line up, and be connected. Our five senses, our brain has to be able to comprehend how the five senses process everything making sense. But what faith wants us to know and understand, faith is above the limitations of our five senses. Faith is above the practical knowledge and understanding of what we can comprehend. Okay, so what I want us to know and understand is that Jesus will call us blessed because we're not depending on the natural in order to believe him. You have to believe this in your spirit. You have to believe this in your heart. You have to believe this even in your mind, and you have to believe this without seeing it, because this, ladies and gentlemen, is what pleases God. And when you operate in faith, God smiles on you. When you operate in faith, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When you operate in faith, God will call you blessed. And when you operate in faith, you will have to not depend on your five senses, because God has told you that he will call you blessed. Being blessed and being called by blessed is better than what you can naturally comprehend. Being called blessed by God is more than what you can add and subtract and make practical and be able to draw true conclusion to what you can understand. Being called blessed by God does something in the supernatural that aligns where you're going in your life, and it elevates you. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. It elevates you to another dimension. So when the storms of life attack you, you know that you can now tap back into that other dimension and have peace in the midst of your storm. We should want God to call us blessed. If God calls us blessed, that means that, guess what? He has blessings on his mind for us. And since blessings are positional and transitional, when you operate in faith, when you use this tool from God, what you have to understand is you've now positioned yourself to receive a transitional blessing from God. When you use this tool and you position yourself to use this tool called faith, okay, you're going to now receive a transitional blessing from God. So as we've been saying, so faith is the evidence of all evidence that's beyond our natural five senses. So the evidence of faith, okay, it's the evidence of the unseen. But Thomas needed this tangible evidence first, and then he believed. But faith, again, as I say, faith is not seeing in the natural, it's seeing in the supernatural. In other words, can you see it without seeing it? Can you hear it without hearing it? Can you already know that you're already there without actually having to actually be there? Can you smell it without smelling it? Can you touch it without touching it? This is what we mean, the evidence of the unseen. Because now, in other words, your natural eyes don't have to see or connect with the natural evidence. Your natural ears don't have to hear and connect with the natural evidence. Okay? Your natural taste and touch and smell, they don't have to connect with the natural evidence when it comes to operating in faith. So I want to quickly read something. I want to give you a quick illustration here, and I want to talk about this example. I'm going to turn into the book. I'm going to turn within the book of Acts. And you guys, thank y'all for being with us here. And let's bring some more scripture, some more book, chapter, and verse as we talk about and expound on this word called faith. And I want to talk about this guy by the name of Saul. You've heard me talk about Saul. You've heard me talk about him being the Pharisee of all Pharisees. And he was going to this place called Damascus. And he was going to persecute those that, here's the word, believed in Jesus. Those that were operating in faith. He was a persecutor of those that believed in him. And he wanted to go to Damascus because there was a lot of people with that belief system in place. During that time, he wanted to persecute them. He wanted to place them in jail. He wanted to get rid of them, to kind of off this whole belief that Jesus had came and planted, that spiritual seed that he planted. They wanted to get rid of that. And Paul was the big man on campus. He took the charge. He took the lead and wanted to just get rid of all Christians at that time. But I want to read to you, as we've read this before, I want to talk about this in a different sense. In Acts chapter 9, I want to read verses 3 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. And I want to just read this to you here. And I want to talk to you about the Apostle Paul as we're talking about the evidence of the unseen. In chapter 9, verse number 3, it reads, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven." Not just any light, but light from heaven. "Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" What I want us to understand in that, I want to go over a couple of points here related to that passage, Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus, as it relates to the evidence of the unseen. Number one, the first thing that I want to point out is that Saul was blinded so that he was placed, here's the word, in a position of transition. Put that in the chat. He was placed in a position of transition. His eyesight had to be removed so that he was placed into submission. He was placed in a position of submission because he needed to humble himself before the Lord so that he could then become exalted. He had to get out of the way. He had to remove his five senses. He was placed, and the Bible says that he fell to the ground. That represents the form of submission that he had to be in order to receive what the Lord had to say to him. The next thing I want us to understand is that when he heard the supernatural voice speaking to him, he was able to hear that because he was placed in a position of submission. Okay, and when he did this out of submission to the Lord, then here's the word, faith was able to now take over. What do you mean by that? Faith was now able to take over. So he was placed in a position of submission, and now faith has a takeover. What I mean by that is that when faith took over, faith responded to the voice that was speaking to him. It wasn't Paul. It was faith that acknowledged who was talking to him. His sheep know his voice. And faith knew, because faith was from the manufacturer that was speaking to Paul at the time, or Saul at the time. And faith responded with recognition of who are you, Lord? It could have been anybody. It could have been anybody, that voice that came. But that spiritual encounter, remember, it had nothing to do with his five senses. But faith took over when he was placed in the position of submission and responded to who was speaking to him. Okay? This is why, what I want us to understand, and it spoke back to that spirit, but this is what I want us to understand. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, what he tells us in Romans 10 and 17, what Paul tells us in Romans 10 and 17, he can understand this because of this encounter. Well, Romans 10 and 17 says that faith comes by hearing, spiritual hearing, not hearing from CNN, not hearing from other ads and things that you hear and see and that we can fill our minds and thoughts with. Faith comes by hearing, but you first have to be placed in a position of submission. When he did that, faith took over, and then faith was able to hear what the Lord said. So Paul got an introduction to faith, a taste of faith, when he heard what the Lord was saying to him. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why we have to be in position to hear what God has to say and to speak to us, because this is how faith comes. We have a measure of faith, but it cannot be activated and it cannot grow. It cannot be nurtured until we feed on this thing right here called the Word of God. Okay? Next thing I want us to understand is, because now faith was introduced, because Paul was introduced to faith, now he was able to teach that Roman church. He was able to understand the processes. This is everything that I encountered. This is what I experienced. I had to be blinded. I had to submit. My position had to be in submission, and then faith had to take over. And now I had to hear faith. I had to, by faith, hear the Lord speak to me. Now I've got my instructions on what I need to do. And because his five senses had nothing to do with that, the first thing that we have to do, again, I want to say, is humble ourselves and place ourselves in a position of submission. So when we feed on the Word of God, okay, we must have that spiritual appetite to eat his word, because the Word of God, it feeds our faith. And the more we eat, the stronger we become. The more we eat, the more we feed on this word, the more we feed on this word. This is why I'm taking my time and I am breaking this down in the granulated form, because I want to continue to feed your faith. I want to continue to allow you to feast on this faith, because faith, remember, as we said, it's the heartbeat of our walk with God. Faith is a tool manufactured by God that we have to operate in order to connect what? The natural and the spiritual. Okay? So I want us to know and understand that. Now, talking about all this hunger and feed and all that, I just want to kind of give you a quick little illustration here. There's a candy bar out there called Snickers. One of my favorites. Don't eat a whole lot of them, but every now and then a Snicker, a little mini size, bite size Snicker ain't too bad. But what I love about Snickers, they got a commercial. And they said it best in this commercial when they said, "You're not you when you're hungry. You're not yourself when you're hungry." Remember that commercial? You got some angry, barbaric guy that's just creating a whole bunch of havoc, tearing up things and acting wild and out of control and all of that. That's what they use in this commercial. And what they were trying to illustrate is, now, not that candy, don't get me wrong, is the best source when you're hungry, but just for commercial sake, they wanted to make a point and say, you're just not you when you're hungry. So in other words, if you're not you when you're hungry, then you're not you when you're hungry. Let's think about that. If the natural man has to eat in order to be nurtured, in order to be replenished, we have to have all those essential needs in order to operate. Our bodies need them. Our organs need them. Everything about us needs food. What do you think your spirit man needs? How is the faith that's on the inside of you going to live and operate and function like it should if we're not feeding on the Word of God? So I want to make a point and I want to say something here. Oftentimes, we get opinions and thoughts and we get criticism from what other people say about your belief system. People that don't want to believe in the God that you serve. People that want to throw stones at you because of your belief system. People want to antagonize everything that you do. Here's what I want to say to you, going back to this commercial. Don't you let a starving spirit talk you out of believing in God. Don't you let somebody that does not eat of the word of God talk you out of your belief system. Hungry spirits, starving spirits that are out there is where the chatter is coming from. People that don't feed on the word of God cannot connect and understand and comprehend this next dimension of faith in the relationship that you have with God. So don't let a starving spirit talk you out of believing in God. You've got to be rooted. You've got to be planted just like that tree by the rivers of water. And that rivers of water, it represents the plentiful, the nourishment of everything that that tree needs. The sun is going to shine, but it's connected. The roots are drawing from that river. And as long as you continue to feed on the word of God, you are going to continue to have a walk with God at another dimension that people that are starving for his word will not understand. So don't let a starving spirit talk you out of your belief system. Paul had a starving spirit as he was going, okay, to Damascus. He was going to kill Christians, but the evidence of the unseen took over and made him instantly become who he was trying to kill. And hearing the word of God can and will, ladies and gentlemen, change anybody. Hearing the word of God, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of this word of God, feeding on this word of God. When you're reading and feeding on the word of God, you're going to be closer to him. You're going to draw closer to him. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And before you know it, you're going to grow in your faith to faith to faith to faith. Glory to glory to glory. Level to level to level. But you have to be in position to continue to feed on the word of God. And the more you feed on the word of God, the more you're going to understand, I don't need to be able to see it. I don't need to be able to touch it. My belief system, my spirit man is taken over, and I am now, here's the word, walking by faith and not by sight. That simply means faith is taking over and my five senses have nothing to do with this. I am going to keep my spirit fed so that I don't starve my faith. You have to feed your faith. You have to feed your faith so that fear doesn't take over, so that doubt doesn't take over, so that shame doesn't take over, so that guilt doesn't take over, so that the ways of this world won't conform. You won't conform to those ways. You're going to do what God needs for you to do, but it starts with you feeding your faith and hearing the word of God. Okay? Paul was going to kill Christians. He was on that route to kill them. And when the evidence of the unseen took over, he made a complete about face and redirected his position because he was placed in a position of submission. It was the unseen that during this journey, his life was changed. It was the unseen that changed his life. He was going for another reason and another purpose, but the unseen is what this thing was all about. He was always going to have that encounter with God. That was unseen in his natural eyes. It was unseen in his natural thoughts. But the more he began to walk, he walked by faith. Even when he didn't realize it, he was walking by faith, and then the change happened. So what I want us to understand is Paul, at the time he was Saul, he was always going to be the great Apostle Paul. But when he was a Christian persecutor, he was Apostle Paul in seed form. Whoever you are in your life, you are always who you're going to be. Regardless to what age you are, regardless to where you 3-4 years old, and you're right now 35, 40, 50 years old, you're always going to be that. But at age 5, age 3, age 2, you're always who you were in seed form. This is why we should not criticize someone as they're going through their growth process. We all have to go through battles and changes and things in order to us become everything that God needs for us to become. But you're who you are in seed form. And as you continue to walk by faith and not by sight, feed on the word of God, you're going to grow into who you're going to become. So even if, as Paul was a persecutor, he was always the apostle. He was just during the time he was the persecutor in seed form. So as a Christian, what I want us to understand is the unseen in faith is the unseen supernatural manifestation of our hope. Jesus said in Luke 17 that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, think about that. even if your faith was as small as a mustard seed. The mustard seed is the seed, but it's always going to be that tree. But right now it's the seed and it's the tree in seed form. This is why we should not despise the day of small beginnings, because what you're going to become is not that right now, but you have to already see it without seeing it. You're whoever you are in seed form right now, but you're going to be this great person. You're going to do these great things. You're going to contribute to society, contribute to this world. But right now, you just may be in seed form. This is why you cannot get weary in well-doing, because in due season, that seed is going to manifest into that spiritual crop that you're going to become. So don't you get worried. Don't you give up. Understand that you're going to start out in seed form. As children are growing up, they're going to be who they're going to be. We cannot give up on our children. I don't care what they've gone through. I don't care what they're doing. When they are in seed form, that's just where they are right now. But there's going to be a later. There's going to be a greater. There's going to be a next dimension. There's going to be a next chapter. So even though they're in seed form, we have to see them in the eyes of God. We have to see it without seeing it. We have to believe it without knowing it, without having all the factual evidence. We got to call those things that may not be as though they are. Speak life into situations. Speak growth into situations. I don't care if it's that person that's struggling with alcoholism right now or drug abuse or whatever. They're who they already are. They're who God says they are. And we have to recognize who they are in seed form and continue to allow them to grow. And God, this is why we say in our ministry, come grow in the soil with us. Because it's in the soil where the incubation period of your spiritual growth takes place. Wow, that's good right there. It's the soil. The soil is the incubation period of where the seed grows, where you become nurtured and you become cultivated. That's why when God gave us the vision of this church, it's all about growing. You're never too young to start growing. You're never too old to keep growing. We're all going to be growing in the soil, and the soil represents the church, the ministry. We're sowing seeds into you every day because we're believing by faith that you're going to be the God version of who you are. You're going to be the God version of who he called you to be. We're going to work with you, and we're going to coach you and develop with you and partner with you and pray with you so that you become everything that God needs for you to become, and we're going to grow together in the soil. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Gentlemen, that's a fresh word from God. Wasn't in my notes, wasn't anywhere to be sent, but somebody needed to hear that. Do not get discouraged into being in seed form right now, because you're going to be who God said you're going to be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows what you look like at the Omega. He knows what you look like at the end. He knows what your tomorrow is going to bring. He knows where you're going to be on down the road. So I don't care what struggles you're going through right now. You're going through those struggles, but your seed is growing. You're going through those struggles, but that crop is stretching. You're going through those struggles, but you're going to burst through that soil and become everything that God needs for you to be, because you have to believe it starts in the soil. You have to believe it starts in the unseen. You have to believe that there is a growth process. You have to have that faith like potatoes. Potatoes grow underneath that soil, and they stay underneath that soil for a long time, but it doesn't mean they're not growing. It doesn't mean they're not stretching. It doesn't mean they're not forming into that potato. It doesn't mean that they're not becoming who they're going to be. When you get those French fries on your plate, you got to understand that they stayed in that soil just for you. They stayed in that soil as they grew and as they nurtured. They stayed in that soil until it was there. Time to come forth. God has a designated time for you to come forth. So you cannot get weary in what you cannot see. You cannot get weary in what you cannot touch. You cannot get weary in what you cannot feel. You cannot get worried because it doesn't seem like it's right now. Because it doesn't seem like it's coming forth. Because it doesn't seem like it's right now. Because it doesn't seem like God is working on your behalf. I don't care about your five senses. Set your five senses to the side and allow that tool that God has given you called faith to take over. Allow that tool that God has given you to bring that evidence of the unseen into this place. Allow that tool to go to work for you in your life, and have that faith. Even though it's in the soil, let it stay in the soil. Let it continue to nurture. Let it continue to grow. Let it continue to be watered. Let it continue to be planted. Let it continue to prosper. Let it continue to grow. Don't get weary in growing in God. I don't care how long it takes. You don't put a time limit on faith. You don't don't put a time limit on faith. Faith does not line up with our five senses. Take the clock off of faith. Take the clock off of faith. Take the clock off of faith. Take the clock off the faith in the name of Jesus and stop allowing time to make you doubt. Stop allowing time to make you quit. Stop allowing time to hold you in spiritual captivity. You got to be beyond time. You got to go beyond time. You got to go to the next dimension in your life and understand that faith wants to partner with you. Whatever God has given you to do, allow faith to partner with you. Put faith to work on this morning. Allow yourself to walk by faith. Allow yourself to take your eyes off the sight. I know we hear about a lot of things in this word, but I want us to understand what God's word said. God said that we are the head and not the tail. God said that greater works we shall do. God said that we are the apples of his eyes. God said in his word that he has plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Yes, there is a thief out there called Satan, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But do you know that Satan is not greater than God's plan for you in your life? And right now, today, I want you to understand, I'm way off. I'm on a whole nother dimension because I'm walking by faith. This has nothing to do with my tangible notes right now. I am walking by faith, and somebody needs to know and understand. Get out of your structure of time. Get out of your appointment setting. Allow God to interrupt your schedule at some point and sometime in your life. And allow God, allow faith, have a faith takeover in your life. Can you just have a faith takeover in your life? Can you not have to be able to align everything in your life? Well, if it doesn't make practical sense, then maybe there is no God. Now, will you tell that spirit to shut up? Will you tell that spirit to obey your God? Will you tell that spirit to submit to the Heavenly Father? Will you tell that spirit to get out of your way so that faith can take over? Can you allow the unseen to lead you into the path of righteousness and walk you into that place of Damascus in your life so that you can have that spiritual encounter with Jesus? I'm right here and I can't get off of it because the Holy Spirit has me anchored in this right now. Can you allow faith to get out of time, get out of the natural? It's good to measure some things here, but get out of the natural sometimes and just allow a faith takeover in your life. We have gotten so attached to devices. We have gotten so attached to the ways of this world that as we grow in the practical sense of our lives, our faith is starving, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be real this morning. It's time to cut this stuff out. Because if we're ever going to elevate and go to the next level of our lives, we got to allow some time for God to pour into us, y'all. We got to allow some time for God to operate, to nurture, and to grow us. We got to stop putting God on a schedule. We got to stop putting God on time. We got to understand that he has to be in complete control. This is why we said Paul had to be placed into a position of submission. Somebody needs to hear. That's a word for somebody out there on this morning. Be placed into a position of submission and allow a faith takeover in your life. You're not going to always see it in order to believe it. This is why Jesus will call you blessed. Now, I don't know where to go from here because I'm completely off right now. But what I do know is that when God speaks, I had some things to talk about the mothers, but right now, what we have to understand about the mothers is the significance of mothers is they have a special and unique part of their body that we all grow. July 21st, 1978, I came from the soil of my mother and I became introduced into this world. But if you were talking to her right now, 9 months ago, she would tell you that when the seed was planted, there were some long nights. There were some tough days. There were some long days, turbulence and uncomfortable things, labor pains and all of those things during that time. And she dealt with it for 9 months. But she did not get weary and well doing. And therefore, when I was in seed form, I was always going to be senior pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love. But at the time when she was going through the labor pains and before she delivered me, July 21st, 1978 in San Diego, California, on a naval base. Okay, before all of that happened, I was always going to be this. But at that time, it was the unseen. She could have given up. She could have threw in the towel. She could have said, this ain't for me. I was her first one. But because she did not get weary in well-doing, in due season, the harvest was manifested. And I love my mother dearly for that. I love my mother for helping bring life, to help it bring me life, bring me life, bring me to life. And that's what I want us to understand. When that seed is sown into us, we cannot get weary in well-doing. Because in due season, we're going to see receive that harvest if we just don't give up. Whatever you believe in God for is going to have a birthday. It's going to have a July 21st, 1978. Okay, I don't care about you knowing about my age. It is what it is. That's when I came into this world. It's a blessing to be born. Okay, you're going to have a July 21st, 1978. You're going to have a birth date of whatever that is, but you cannot give up. And just because the time doesn't seem right doesn't mean that it's time for you to throw in the towel. Let God nurture and cultivate. Let God do some aligning and bring some people into position that need to be a part of where you're going. Allow other things. God works in mysterious ways. You don't know who God is using to be aligned with that next dimension of your life. He's getting some other people ready to do some things over here. He's getting some other things lined up over here. Okay, he's growing you in the soil. He's allowing you to be able to handle all the things that's going to come your way. You may not be ready to handle the rejection that's at that level yet. So keep sitting in the soil. And when your time is right, you're going to have the broad shoulders to handle everything that dimension presents to you. You're going to be able to handle the rejection. You're going to be able to handle those devils that await. Remember, new levels bring new devils. But he's got to get you ready. So we have to take God off of his schedule. As I close on this morning, excuse me, as I close on this morning, I want somebody to understand God does not operate on our time. God is beyond our time. The dimensions of time, excuse me, were created for us to have a way to measure, for us to have a calendar date in time and to be able to measure. That is for us. That dimension that faith operates on, that dimension that connects the natural and the spiritual, God doesn't need that. Okay, one day, listen, you just don't understand that. I understand. But God knows when the timing is right. He doesn't operate in time, but the timing is right. God makes no mistakes. And he knows when we're ready for things. He knows when the time is right for us. He knows when we've sat in the oven long enough to allow the bread of our belief to be able to bake, to rise to the level that it needs to rise. So during that time, your job is to keep doing this. And I want to encourage you, keep doing this. Keep feeding your faith. Because what did Isaiah tell us? They that wait upon the Lord, if you continue to wait upon him, okay, he's going to renew your strength. Okay, you're going to mount up with wings as an eagle. You're going to walk in our faith. You're not going to give up. Okay, you just continue to wait on God. Keep doing the things that got you to where they are and don't stop. Don't get weary. Because I understand right now, we hear of a lot of things in society that, oh, this happened really quick for this person. It happened really quick for that person. What you don't know is the backside. How long did they keep that? How far are they really going? How did they really receive that? Don't go along with the surface. That's why we cannot be conformed to the ways of this world. You don't know how somebody that's not believing in the God that you serve, you don't know how they got it. You also don't know how they're going to keep it. Allow God to plant you. Allow him to keep speaking to you. Allow him to keep walking you into the plan of salvation for your life. And right now, I want to give somebody this opportunity on this Mother's Day. The opportunity to come grow in the soil with us, to meet the Father for yourself. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know things don't make sense. I know we hear about so much going on in this world. we're not going to all get the opportunity that Thomas got the opportunity to say, no, Jesus, I need you to prove yourself to me. Because when he comes back, he's coming back to take those that have already taken this step to believe in him. He's coming back to take them back with him. And when he comes back again, it's going to be too late. Don't allow your lifestyle to be so focused into all the devices and the computers and the cell phones and all these things here, to have your head and so focused into this right here that you miss the rapture when he comes back. He's coming back like a thief in the night. And according to a lot of things that I am seeing right here, Jesus is very soon to come. So right now, allow Mother's Day to be the day that you can remember, Mother's Day of 2021, to be the day that you gave your life to Christ, that you dedicated your life to Christ, that the unseen is what's going to now take over, that you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. So right now on today, I want you to lift your hand wherever you are, whatever time you are. If you listen to this next week, next year, whenever it is, this right now, remember now faith, whenever you're listening to this, now faith, it's ever evolving. It's ever moving. Okay. Remember the illustration from last week. It's always moving. So it doesn't matter when you do this, do it right now because faith is ever evolving. Right now, lift your hand. Allow your mother, if she is still living, to know that this was the day that the Lord has made because you came back to Christ, because you dedicated your life to Christ. You said, the world has nothing for me. I've been there. I've done that. I've seen all this stuff here. But you know what? There's something that's still tugging on me right now. There is something that's still tugging on me right now. I'm not satisfied. I'm not complete. I don't feel like I should feel. I'm just not where I should be in my life, because it is the Holy Spirit telling you, he needs you to tune in and allow faith to come by hearing, so you can hear what those steps are for you. But right now, place yourself in a position of submission. And I want you to repeat after me, Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm running back to you full speed. Lord, save my heart. Save my mind. Save my thoughts. Lord, save my soul. I need you like never before. The world has just taken me out of position, but I want to be brought back into the position of submission. Cleanse my mind, cleanse my thoughts, cleanse everything about me and make me brand new. Give me a new hope. Give me a hope and a future. Give me my Jeremiah 29:11. Because you have plans for me, Lord. Because you have plans to prosper me. Because you have plans to give me a hope. Because you have plans to give me a future. And I want to accept that. I believe that you died and you rose on the third day. I don't doubt you like Thomas. I believe the unseen. Lord, thank you for calling me blessed. Thank you for calling me blessed, because I have received salvation on this Mother's Day, 2021. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to the team that never loses. Welcome to the team that loves you. Welcome to the team of God, the community of God, the belief system of God. And faith is going to do something supernatural that's going to come to the surface in the natural. And I want you to continue to be encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight. Allow faith to come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're not you when you're hungry. So stop starving your faith. Feed your faith and walk into the purpose and the plan that God has for you. God bless you. Thank y'all for joining us. And again, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers that are out there. I hope you have a wonderful, fantastic day on today. We'll see you next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. Beat me there. We got some great things in store for you. Some great things that I just, I don't want to, I'll connect with me during the week. I got some things that I want to share with you. God bless you. God keep you. Have a fantastic day. We love y'all. We'll see you next week.